Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's so true. We were talking in the open of the show. Seth and I were, and we'll hit this topic again because I think it's a good topic, on the heels of the Chiefs last night. And we're going to get to the Patriots here in a second, I promise, because that's what I teased. But the highlights are on the TV in our studio here. You and I were making some comparisons with the Chiefs and the Texans with the warning label that we're not crowning the Texans as three-time Super Bowl champions or anything like that. Just some interesting similarities between the two teams thus far this season. This box of five games that we're in, they just showed the Travis Kelce Wildcat, you know, read option play where he's got Xavier Worthy lined up to his left. And he's got some other wide receiver, running back that's a lesser player lined up to his right. And Kelce is in gun. Travis Kelce, tight end, is in gun. And we're watching this, and I think most people are watching going, I can't wait to see what Andy Reid's got cooked up here.
Yeah.
That is where the similarities end, because if Dalton Schultz were lined up in gun with Stephon Diggs to his left and John Mechie the third to his right, we'd be like, okay, what?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what we'd be, oh, no.
I mean, that's a, what are the listeners pointing out?
No. I'm just watching that play. They're not pointing out anything.
I thought you said the listeners said something similar to what we said.
No.
I think that, yeah, some of it comes down to the players you have on your team, but the cute stuff, that's something that Andy Reid has always done. Sometimes it's, honestly, if any other coach were doing it, you would blast the hell out of
them. Yes.
Because sometimes it doesn't. Where they do that little, that ring around the rosy thing that they do. And I swear, half the time I see it, it's an abject disaster. And yet, there they go. They're out there. If a bad team did that.
I know. The Chiefs, they just need to push the envelope. I mean, they're on the cusp of being a three-peat Super Bowl winner. They need to come out of the huddle doing like a TikTok dance, you know, and people be like, I wonder why they're TikTok dancing right now.
They're a little bit like after the Beatles discovered acid. They're like, hey, everything, like, everybody, they're like, well, they're the Beatles, so I guess.
Sergeant Pepper's.
I guess I like this.
It's a Sergeant. This year is the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. Yeah.
I guess I'm going to pretend I appreciate the complexity of a 12-track rep. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a great analogy. Kids, the Beatles were this band back in the 60s.
So, the proof has to be in the pudding.
Yeah. And
some of the things Bobby Slowick does that are gadgetry, they do. They work.
Yeah.
They work.
They
it's
do
just,
work.
You, but when you're running the ball at 2 yards a clip with the lead guy that day, it's frustrating because it feels like you're not getting the basics right.
Yeah, the conventional stuff. Like, you learn the conventional stuff, then you can get all exotic and fancy. All right, so the Patriots are on the docket this week for the Texans. The Texans are favored by 7 points in New England. So if you're looking for a gauge as to where this Patriots franchise is right now, they're a touchdown favorite to a team that has never beaten them in New England. The Texans have never won a game in Gillette Stadium before. The drama swirling around this game right now is twofold. I texted Seth excitedly yesterday. I'm like, ooh, we've already got storylines for this Patriots game thanks to the Patriots themselves. The first one was off the field. This came out yesterday morning. Jabril Peppers, who is, he's a former first-round pick of the Cleveland Browns. He's a safety for the New England Patriots, really good college player from Michigan back in the day, pleaded not guilty on Monday morning after he was arrested Saturday. Oh, I should point out he's also a captain for the Patriots as well.
Yes.
He was arrested Saturday on charges. Didn't play on Sunday, by the way. He was going to be out on Sunday anyways. Charges that included strangulation and drug possession, according to police in Braintree, Massachusetts. Police announced Pepper's arrest Monday, saying they responded to a disturbance at a residential address early Saturday morning when a caller indicated there was an altercation between two people. He was charged with, Pepper's was, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine.
Can the Patriots replace the leadership they have at the cocaine assault section of their team?
It's harder to find these days.
It's hard to find. I know. You don't hear about it as much. NFL players don't get in trouble like they once did.
Yep.
Yeah, Jabril Peppers is old school in that regard.
Yeah.
But he's damn near Lawrence Taylor. So, this is... It's a team in turmoil right now up there in New England in terms of there's talk of Drake May.
We'll get to him.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll get to him. Let's hit Gerard. Here's Gerard Mayo yesterday in his Zoom call with Patriot reporters with his update on Jabril Peppers.
On the Jabril Peppers situation, have you heard anything from the NFL about potentially putting him on the commissioner's exempt list?
We informed the NFL and we're still gathering information. I know the team put out a statement earlier today, so I'm not sure, you know, how the league and how we are going to handle that going forward, but we should find out some more information over the next few days.
Seems like pretty much with legal stuff that's not domestic violence, and this is not domestic violence, right? It's not his.
Well, he was strangling somebody. This is
right,
not,
but, it was,
not
but
a,
they don't say it.
It's
yeah,
not,
but
it's not a significant other. It sounds.
It hasn't been. Yeah, it hasn't. It's not even a female that we know of, right?
Right.
Or we don't know for sure. So
wait, hold on. According to Braintree Police, the woman alleged that Peppers hit her. Choked her at least six times, took off her clothing, and put her outside.
Oh, damn. Never mind. Okay, yeah, I take it all back.
Yeah.
Now, the league has taken a more hands-off approach than they used to, and they try to let the legal process play out. But when it comes to some things, it always depends on how obvious the evidence is.
Yeah.
And so as more details emerge, at least to the league, then we'll find out whether he's an immediate shutdown, or they put it off?
Yeah, we'll see. The details are pretty graphic, if they're true. Police also said Peppers shoved the woman to the ground, shoved her head into a wall, and put his hands around her neck to strangle her.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, this
the
is...
one that, the first report I had seen, I saw that a woman reported it, but it made it kind of seem like she was reporting it to happen to something else.
Yeah, the first report, you couldn't tell if he was getting into a fight with a buddy over something happening in a college football game or something.
Or a drug dealer.
Yeah, right.
The pusher man.
There was cocaine in the room, allegedly, yes. So Peppers answered the door shirtless, nodding his head and telling police, quote, "I know what's going on," according to the documents. He was arrested without incident. The police report also said the officers confiscated, quote, a clear bag containing white powder, which later tested positive for cocaine. So there's a lot more details out this morning than there were yesterday when this story happened. So this is, I have a hard time believing he won't be on the commissioner's exempt list.
He's not. He hasn't done this with the panache that former Patriots player Chandler Jones did. Back when basically there's like when they found Debo in the chicken coop with Chandler Jones, he was running around wild all over the place.
Shirtless.
Like he was definitely on drugs.
Yes.
There's no bones about it.
Shirtless and it's cold out. Yeah, for sure. So this is I don't know how crucial Jabril Peppers was going to be to the Patriots' ability to win this game on Sunday, but it is, and he's one of your captains, and this is just one more thing you're answering questions about during the week. And it's pretty graphic, man, some of these details. Number two, you alluded to it, Seth. They may be on the cusp of a QB change here in New England. And probably good news for the Texans, given that Jacoby Brissett, even though he's an aging backup quarterback, has kind of had the Texans' number throughout the course of his career. Here was Gerard Mayo, Patriots head coach, yesterday on Jacoby Brissett's performance on Sunday in their loss to Miami.
It just wasn't good enough. You know, I thought we played well enough defensively and on special teams to win the football game. And look, as the quarterback, and he understands this, you know, he touches the ball on every single play, and we didn't win the game or score enough points to win the game. And I think he would echo that same sentiment, that it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he wasn't good against Miami. Now, how are you feeling about that? Would you like to? I'd love to see a rookie making his debut against this defense.
I know that the immediate reaction from a lot of Patriots fans was, "Don't put Drake May behind that offensive line." To which I got super excited about.
Yes,
I got really excited about the. Yeah, I mean, the last time the Texans faced the rookie quarterback Caleb Williams, they treated him like a rookie quarterback. They blitzed the hell out of him. They went way above D'Amico blitz more than they'd ever blitzed before. And that's where it could really start running downhill for the Patriots. Hopefully for once, and have the Texans just absolutely destroy a team, is if they blitz the hell out of Drake May.
Well, and Caleb Williams is far more pro-ready than Drake May is, you know, as far as the scouting reports. And that, it's not like Caleb is even close to a finished product, but Drake May is thought to be really talented, but super raw. Yeah, I don't know, man. Feeding him to the defense that just made Josh Allen go 9-for-30 for 131 yards, I'm here for it. But I'm a Texans fan.
If Gerard Mayo's a real man, that's what he'll do.
That's a good job.
They'll put him out there. Start putting that. When are we having Ted Johnson on?
I was just about to say, Ted has a theory on this. We're having Ted on Friday at 9 a.m. Friday at 9 a.m. Ted has a theory on this. He tweeted it yesterday. Our former colleague here, Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champ with the New England Patriots, who's on the
Teddy
radio.
Teddy three rings.
Yep. He's on the radio up in Boston. Teddy's going to be on with us 9 o'clock Friday. So if you want to circle that, I know people love Ted. Ted thinks that the Jabril Peppers incident and the negativity that comes with that greatly increases the chances that Drake May plays this week because it takes some of the attention away from that. Whereas the Patriot fans, they're already 1-4. Now you got one of your captains allegedly choking a woman and snorting coke on his off day.
Yeah.
That if you make Drake May a storyline, then people are going to be hyper-focused on that and not this horrible, horrible incident with Jabril Peppers. And that to which I say, Ted, good for you, man.
That's a good conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
If, but if you found out that that's the way they were operating, that would if you found out that that was true, wouldn't that make you feel even four times worse about your football team?
Of course.
Like, yeah, okay, this is where we are. We're, like, making PR decisions based on, yeah.
Of course. My sense I get is Ted doesn't feel great about the football team right now. So, yeah.
So we want Drake May
yes.
to start.
Yeah.
I feel very much in that regard, including whatever mojo that Jacoby Brissett has over the Texans.
Yeah.
I want Drake May to go all Caleb Williams and get blitzed all to hell.
Dude.
And if that helps them avoid the distraction of Jabril Peppers, then
so
by all means, I'll help the people of New England feel better about
with
it.
With the mental health. Yeah. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on preparing for the possibility of preparing for two quarterbacks.
For us, whenever you're preparing for the unknown, right, only thing we can prepare for is what we've seen on tape with the quarterback that they've had play over these first, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Now, the young guy gets in, we have to be prepared to adjust. So, of course, we'll go back and watch as much as we can on him from his preseason plays, but our focus would just be on structurally, like what they do as an offense.
You've gone, I'm sure, Seth, during your 10 years in the NFL, gone against young quarterbacks that you have almost no film on at the NFL level. Are they watching some of his North Carolina film this week, too,
if he
gets named the starter?
I don't, not necessarily, other than sometimes they'll do cut-ups of guys, almost like a scouting report, almost like a draft report.
Yeah.
You know, where they're still like, hey, look, this is what he's capable of. I think you're more likely to watch preseason stuff to see them in that offense and all that, but it's one of those things you go into a game kind of blind, and you don't know exactly how much they're going to put on his plate. You know, are they going to come out and run the ball forever? You just you just operate with some unknowns. But yeah, with Drake May, probably for him, I just think probably some of his bad decisions what forces him into bad decisions.
Well, and he's got no weapons. Like, he's got nobody that can bail. Like, at least Caleb Williams, if he's throwing the ball up under pressure, is throwing it to DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. Keenan Allen didn't play in that game, but Cole Kmet's a really good, he's a good tight end. DeAndre Swift is a capable NFL back, even though he was crap in that game against the Texans. Drake May's got nothing. Yeah, I'm rooting for that. I want the Drake May thing to happen now. That is
the kid's got a, man, it's sink or swim. If they believe in Drake May, they'll put him out there, damn it.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
I like you challenging them.
Does Jerod Mayo have the guts? Can he be a man and do the right thing, which is to play the young guy?
Good job, Seth.
Yes.
Stork,
so we got to be sure we tell Ted that. Put that out into the atmosphere up there.
I'll text it today because we can't wait till Friday on that one. We got to get that one started today. Challenging the manhood of Jerod Mayo.
We'll put a bunch of headlines that hopefully get picked up where we say, like, this is how real linebackers operate.
That's right.
This is how a real man operates. What Ted Johnson says to do.
Exactly. So early storylines with the Patriots, this Jabril Peppers arrest that took place on Saturday, some pretty graphic stuff. Number two, they may be on the cusp of making a quarterback change here and putting the rookie in for his debut. God, please let this happen. The more I talk about it, the more I want to talk it into existence. Storyline number three, Nick Caserio's return to New England. His first trip back in an NFL football game to New England. They've not played the Patriots up there. They played the Patriots here in his first season, but this is his first trip back to the building where he made his bones there, so to speak.
That is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that had never occurred to me that he still hasn't been up there. And, I'd be interested. We'll have to monitor that and see how Casario is treated and kind of as everybody deconstructs the final days of the Patriots dynasty, where does Casario fit in all of that? Because he was one of the longest standing members of that whole dynasty.
Yeah, and an important one too. And if I had to guess, that's a good call, Seth. I'm going to monitor some of the Patriot beat writers this week because that'll be a storyline. What if Casario had stayed in the building? Would this team be in the state of disrepair that it's in right now?
I think I've seen at times, and I don't know how prevalent this theory is, but that Casario is kind of one of the guys that moderated Belichick's tendencies when it comes to the draft and personnel type stuff. Because Belichick is sometimes your greatest strength is your greatest weakness, and I think he knows he's a genius and sometimes just overrides everybody else's opinion.
Yep.
I think on the personnel side of things, I think there was a good yin and yang thing going there with Casario and Belichick that he didn't have after he was gone.
I agree with you. So Nick, and Nick will do his weekly hit with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer this week on Texans Radio. I'm guessing that'll be a topic going back to New England. We'll see what Nick has to say about it. We're working on getting Nick with us next week, so we're working on that right now. So the next Casario appearance will hopefully be imminent here, so we're kind of working on that. We'll give you guys the update when we get that nailed down.
And I'm sure somebody's going to correct us, as Aaron Rayball just did. Casario has been there for the preseason, but not for the regular season. So.
Oh, they did play up there in the preseason. Okay, thank you. Yeah, well, Aaron Rayball will be the one to correct us on that because he is the engineer on Texans road games and home games.
He was up there, yeah. He was probably holding Casario's coffee for him while in New England at some point.
Yep. The house of horrors that Foxborough has been, this is the backdrop. This is why the Texans being a touchdown favorite in New England feels significant. Texans are 3-9 overall against the Patriots in the history of the team.
Yeah.
3-9.
Feels like that.
All three wins were here in Houston. Right, 2009, last game of the season. 2019, the game where DeAndre had the little playground option to Deshaun, and they won. That was the flu game for the Patriots. And then people forget the other one because it was during the COVID year, but that was the Cam Newton starting quarterback year. One of their four wins that season was a home win over the New England Patriots and Cam Newton.
And Cam Newton, that's a
fever dream, bro.
I'd completely 100% forgotten that that ever happened.
Yep. Those are the three.
Now I know what I'm doing this afternoon. I'm going to watch a game that I can't remember at all.
Yeah. So those are the three wins. They're 0-7. They're 0-7 straight up at Gillette Stadium, the Texans are, and 1-6 against the spread. So it's not just that they've gone up there and they haven't won. By and large, they've not been competitive.
They haven't performed. They haven't gone up there and right. And,
these are big spreads, some of them. 12.5, 9.5. They didn't cover a 16. They didn't cover a 16-point spread in a playoff game with Brock Osweiler at quarterback.
That's the stuff that gets you really hated. That's the when your team can't even suck right.
Yeah.
What the hell? The whole thing is, Gillette Stadium, too, that's extra frustrating because, look, the Patriots have been the Patriots, obviously. In any given year, you go up there and you're not going to be favored. But it's not a particularly intimidating stadium or one that makes it really uncomfortable. You know, it doesn't have the same reputation as a lot of the other places, partly because the fan base has just gotten so accustomed to just watching winning football.
Mm-hmm.
But, there is something that annoys me about the Texans being awful against the Jets last year in a ugly situation. Something about going to the Northeast in the Patriots, like don't play down to the stadium,
No.
Don't play down to that bourgeois crowd that barely gets excited about football anymore because they've had too much success.
Because it's
lives.
Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
Well, and along those lines, last storyline here, general NFL trends in 2024 favor the Patriots in a way in this matchup. NFL underdogs so far this season, and we had a texter point this out, like, guys, it's been a bit of a crazy season so far. You can't look down at the Patriots.
No, God,
no. No. And I would say that even if it weren't a crazy season. You just can't do that in the NFL. NFL underdogs, Seth, of 5.5 points or more this season, 19-4-1 against the spread so far this year.
Oh, wow.
So they've at least kept it close, if not won outright. 19-4-1, so, about 80-plus percent of the time.
I blame the NIL and the transfer portal. It's
yeah, me too.
It's basically just it's created a certain parody and randomness, Sean.
It is. It has, and it's bled into.
It is. I wish the transfer portal were as structured and organized as NFL free agency, or at least there's some rules or something. It's college crazy. Right now, it's just like
dude.
Hey, where you guys? Where you guys want to play next week?
Yeah.
Like it's just you and your friends could be sitting in the locker room. You're like, hey, what do you think?
Well, that's
how you transfer right now.
Yeah. Well, that's how with college, not to get too far on a tangent, like the biggest winners this weekend, like I always read the winners and losers from each weekend, the like columns like that. The biggest winners were the teams that didn't play because they just sat back and watched all these top 10 teams. Like Texas moved back up to number one by doing nothing this weekend, but watching Alabama and all these other teams get upset. Notre Dame, which is my school, they didn't play this weekend. Now all of a sudden they find themselves back in the top 12 after their season was over. A few weeks ago after losing to Northern Illinois. They're just letting everybody lose in front of them, you know?
You guys showed a lot of grit last week.
In the bye?
You guys did, yeah.
Thanks, man.
No incidents. Nobody was arrested on a cocaine assault charge.
No strangulation.
Like Gerard Mayo's fighting heroes did.
That's right, man.
It was Jabril Peppers that got arrested, not Gerard Mayo. But ultimately, Gerard Mayo is responsible.
Yeah. You represent Jabril Peppers out there on these streets, Gerard.
Jabril Peppers gets more. I swear he gets more headlines just because of like college highlights and having a cool name. Remember when they traded him and people were like, "Oh my gosh, what a crew they got!" Jabril Peppers, he sucks.
he got a lot of buzz because he was like a both sides of the ball kind of guy. Like he was like a Swiss Army knife in college.
Yeah, but he's never delivered on his promise.
No,
you know, but it was even they did. They acted like I don't know. People were acting like it was a coup that the Giants got Jabril Peppers, and I didn't. I was looking around like, what are you talking about?
And what do you think Nick Caserio would have given Jabril Peppers a 3-year, $30 million contract? Because this Patriots front office did. You know, like as long as we're talking about Nick not being in the building there anymore. And not having, I know Belichick. Well, did Belichick sign him? I don't know. Anyways, the Patriots gave him a big deal, man. He's making $10 million a year. He's out strangling people and snorting coke on his off day.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
If you can get paid $10 million a year to strangle people, I'd say take that
the
money.
This I know. I've never snorted cocaine in my life, but I know $10 million can buy you a decent amount of cocaine for sure. I mean, I know it doesn't
can buy you.
It doesn't go as far as it used to.
Somebody text in.
How much cocaine would I get for $10 million? Hey, if you're a cokehead.
And listen, I'm going to pay retail. Yeah. I'm not. I don't need to form a relationship with some drug lord. Okay,
right.
I can't show up in that in that wiretap.
Yeah.
So just how much can I get for $10 million retail?
What does a kilo go for on the streets these days? 713-572-4610. Text message, boys, do you think Nico's injury will give John Metchie a little bit of a look for this weekend against the Patriots? If we're using the second half of this past Sunday's football game as a barometer, I would say it's probably Xavier Hutchinson who gets the bump up in the rotation here.
Yeah, and I think that's that makes the most sense. Xavier Hutchinson, I think everything we saw during training camp, it just felt like he was a little bit more integrated into the offense. He was kind of like guys were thrown to him in rhythm, and he was there where he was supposed to be. Where with Metchie, it was more of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Metchie ended up, he turned it up at the end. I think they just trust Xavier Hutchinson more.
Yeah. No doubt about that. For those who haven't heard it yet, because we know a lot of you get in your cars, haven't been listening, we played this a couple times, but here is. You know, again, the biggest story for the Texans right now is Nico Collins' hamstring. Here is the update from D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, Nico, he's in good spirits. Of course, with the hamstring, it takes a couple weeks for a hamstring, so we'll evaluate that, you know, on a week-to-week basis to see when we can get him back.
Takes a couple weeks for a hamstring, so he ain't playing this weekend for sure, is what I heard right there.
Okay. Now, as far as things that this could end up being good for.
Okay.
Like we saw them operate in the second half with not a whole lot of success without Nico Collins last week.
Well, it looked different for sure. I mean, it was a lot of dink and dunk.
Right.
Yeah.
There was still a lot of, and it was a classic story of this Texan season. They were able to move the ball, but they had all these self-inflicted wounds and everything else. The dinking and dunking, the ripping and the tearing, all that. That's where this could ultimately be a good thing. I think that getting Dalton Schultz involved more, as we've seen them make stabs at that, getting Ogunbowale and the running backs in general involved more in the passing game, that's ultimately a good thing. So, like, I don't want to just act like I'm looking for the silver lining in all this. Nico Collins has been one of the very best things about this football team. That's the way I'm trying to look at it right now, is that this might be the kind of thing that by the end of the season you realize, you know what, yeah, when Nico is out, then we really realize that we could do this or do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that I like that. I like that angle, too. Look, hey, man, look, you still – like, you're take a look at the Patriots depth chart, okay? You still have Stephon Diggs – and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz, maybe Joe Mixon back, who knows, this weekend. I mean, and you've got CJ Stroud pulling the trigger. I mean, like, there is still plenty to work with in a game against the New England Patriots.
They've been underperforming in a lot of regards in ways that have almost nothing to do with the actual talent, except it's the execution of everything. But yeah, I mean, look at, okay, they go into this game. Let's compare it to the Ravens playoff game last year. They go into this game, and they have Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs as your starting wide receivers, which is you're better off than you were in the playoffs last year. So there's not necessarily excuses that this can't be a high-scoring offense just because Nico Collins isn't out there.
Absolutely.
Joe Mixon would be the huge X factor.
That'd be big. That would be big. Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Here was D'Amico Ryans. The other injury we should be monitoring is Titus Howard, also a hamstring injury. He missed the game on Sunday, so Blake Fisher gets his baptism by fire as a rookie right tackle in the game. Get Seth's thoughts on Blake Fisher in a second. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Blake Fisher's debut.
Blake, I thought he did a really nice job of stepping in. And, you know, Blake didn't have much practice last week because he was dealing with the illness as well. So for him to step in short practice and step in and start for us and play the entire game, thought he did a really nice job. Definitely some things to clean up. His first time out, though, I'm very encouraged by what I saw from him. And he has, of course, he'll improve and get better. But, man, he started off on the right foot.
Yeah, I think he had some really nice snaps. He had a few rough snaps in pass protection. I think in the run game, what I worried about with Blake Fisher was he's a longer, kind of leaner guy, and sometimes those guys take a while to learn how to play with power. I actually think that he's actually come a long way in being able to just kind of anchor down and be stout, both in the run game and the pass game. So I was encouraged by what he did last week. Yeah. He had... again, he had some rough snaps in pass protection, but not all the time and not consistently to where I was worried about him. And then he had some really nice reps when he was one-on-one with defensive ends too, where he looked like a veteran offensive tackle. So I'm cautiously optimistic that over the next couple weeks, if Blake Fisher has to play, then he might start turning into something really nice.
Are you bullish on him long-term for this team?
I am. Yeah, I like him. I think I can tell that he's been working. You know, I think there's just some guys, some offensive linemen, just they look like rookies early in camp and then they keep looking that way because their body positioning and everything else like that. I can tell that he's made progress and he's very athletic. So there's some elements of him when he's gotten out in space. Some have been good, some have been bad, but he's doing a lot of things that physically you can tell it's there. Yeah. He's just got to get refined. He's got to get polished.
I saw a locker room interview with him. I couldn't tell if it was right after the game or if it was yesterday when the locker room was open. I'm assuming the locker room was open yesterday for media. He was super excited, man. He's had a smile on his face the whole time talking about playing against the Bills on Sunday.
Just what a great time he had. What a good experience.
Like, he was super excited, man. Like, that was really fun to see. And it sounds like from what you're saying, his performance based on the sliding scale of, hey, this is a guy's first start, he should be excited about it.
Yeah.
One more from D'Amico Ryans. Azeez Al-Shaair was a huge part of the Texans' win on Sunday. 8 tackles, tackle for loss, couple passes defended at the end of the first half. One was a big one, man, a tight end route down the seam, the little underthrown by Josh Allen. And Azeez able to go up and knock that away. By the way, Azeez was on the injury list himself heading into Sunday after being sick and at the ER on Saturday. Here's D'Amico on Aziz Alshire on Sunday.
Aziz, it was a valiant effort by Aziz to deal with what he was dealing with. I can't imagine how he was feeling and what he was going through the night before the game. You know, it was a tough spot for him. So, man, couldn't be more proud of him for stepping up, right, and going out, gutting it out for the team. And as I spoke about Rob earlier, it's the same for Aziz. It's the team first mentality. It wasn't about him. He didn't want to make it a big deal about him. He just wanted to go out and help the team. And he had some nice plays there for us. Wish he would have came down one of those interceptions, but he had a really nice game for us.
Yeah, he was good, man. And it was there was one point where Josh Allen was rolling out in that game, and it was really hard to read the numbers and names on the backs of the jerseys, especially from where you and I watch the games.
That's my only complaint about those jerseys. I love those. I love them, except I can't read the damn numbers.
Not from eight levels up in the stadium.
No, but even on
the
TV copy, I was noticing yesterday, at least watching on my computer, it was hard to make it out.
It was tough. So there was a play where Josh Allen's rolling, and Josh Allen, one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, is rolling out to his right, and I see a Texan. And he's running stride for stride and closing in and on an angle with Josh Allen, forced a throw, an errant throw downfield. And I'm like, oh, that was cool. And I'm thinking, like, oh, it's a single-digit number. I see that. Maybe it's Petrie or Lassiter running with him or something. No, that was Aziz Alshire running stride for stride with, I mean, like showing some serious Alshire, lateral speed.
Honestly, Alshire a couple times. It was kind of fun that I couldn't read the numbers because there were times where I thought a safety had come out of coverage or something to go after Josh Allen.
Yes.
There was one time I was like, was that Petrie? I got confused. Sean Bajani had made a comment about Petrie doing something good in coverage. And I'm like, no, that was Petrie that hit the quarterback. He was like, no, that was Alshire.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, oh, he was moving like Petrie.
He's moving like I haven't seen inside linebackers for the Texans move in a long, long time.
As far as the illness goes, I get a little bit nervous because the Childish Gambino canceled the rest of his tour as he's having surgery in Houston. And I remember seeing the first report and I was like, wait a second, Childish Gambino got sick in Houston and had to have surgery. It sounds more like Childish Gambino had a tour date in New Orleans, then they came to Houston and he went to the hospital here.
Okay.
So I don't think I was worried that it was some kind of hotel food issue or something, or some kind of bug that was going around they could get all the team, but I think these might be unrelated.
Okay, I hope so.
Unless we find out that Alshire was in New Orleans also.
It would appear. I mean, Alshire has played in an NFL game since then, so I think it's probably different, but we'll monitor it if Alshire shows up on the injury report this week. Text message. I called Mixon's high ankle sprain back on September 20th. Can I get some credit? Acknowledge me, Sean. LOL.
How did you call it? Like, did you say, I guess that's the question. It's definitely a high ankle sprain? That's fine. Then if you said, like, I think it might be a high ankle sprain, or what if it is a high ankle sprain?
Forgive me if I don't remember a text from 3 weeks ago. You know, like, that's, I apologize about that.
Yeah, I don't like it when people demand credit for their, those people probably don't realize. It's hard for us to search the text history.
Yeah.
So we don't, and it only goes back so far, so it's not always obvious that, like, oh, yeah, your text, whatever.
Yeah, he has an LOL at the end, so I don't think he's being totally serious. But yet, sir, we need
block
to remind
him.
We need to remind people, you can't just request acknowledgement. We don't do it that way. Like, acknowledgement is for elite. Hey, as long as I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a little selfish here. I want to acknowledge my son, Sammy.
Acknowledge me.
We got the good news yesterday, Seth, after the show was over.
Okay.
We got the good news.
He was nervous as he took the bar a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And as you've told me, Sammy is always convinced that he's failed every test he's ever taken.
Right.
And yet has done very well for himself academically.
Yeah, he had a 3.8 at Baylor. Yeah, exactly. Got the good news yesterday as I'm driving home after the show was over. Got a text from Sammy. I pull over. I look at it. Pass the bar.
Okay.
Top 1%.
Ooh.
Top 1%.
The 1th percentile.
He's in the 1th. Yeah. I think that's... I think that's the upper quartile of the upper quartile, if I'm not mistaken, Jim Irsay.
Quartile of winners. We're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
That's right. That's right. My son is in the upper quartile of the upper quartile of young lawyers.
Jim Irsay. I was waiting for, it's kind of like Dan Campbell and his kneecaps. I was waiting for him to see, like, when do we start getting into extreme decimals here?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say the upper quartile of the upper quartile of the upper quartile.
Yes. Yeah. So props to Sammy. Seth.
Yeah, good job, Sammy.
Yeah, yeah. Payne and Pendergast has a lawyer on the payroll now, and we may need one someday. You never know.
He's officially, once you pass the bar, that's when you're allowed to, like, really, really practice law?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah. I don't know. I go when stuff like this happens with my kids, I don't know why. I get nostalgic and I go back and look at pictures of them when they were like 8 or 9 years old. And
oh, there's yeah.
I have some hilarious videos of Sammy and pictures of him. Like, he's a funny kid. He's got a great personality. But I'm looking, I'm going, I can't believe this guy is gonna be defending big corporations. And it's like a picture of him with his hat tipped with the duck face, no shirt on, you know, like.
But I bet Sammy's not the kind of kid. You know, there's some guys that you go to school with and then you catch up to him like 20 years later. You're like, oh my God, how did this guy pull off this?
No, Sammy
like,
was a good kid.
Boy, you were a jackass. Like, Sammy yeah. was never a jackass.
No. He was, I mean, he may have had days where he was a jackass, but he wasn't a general jackass all the time. Yeah.
Hey, Ben, put that in the book of interviews of people that I want to do that I'm never actually going to do, or a podcast that I want to do that I'm Sammy? Never going to do. I'll do a Sammy podcast, but then just the other category, the people that I know that there's no way when they're 16 years old you would ever predicted the yes. massive amount of success they're gonna Dude. Have. Those people are amazing to me.
They're amazing.
Like, it really is cool. Like, it's usually some of the very things that fueled their success were the same things that made them jackasses when they were kids.
Yeah, they just channeled it properly once yeah. they got to adulthood. Yeah.
So any of you jackass kids out there, don't despair.
There's hope.
Yeah.
There is hope.
You're not listening. You're still sleeping. You're missing third period for sure.
We'll do this again at 9:30. All right. Best quarterback now in the NFL, best quarterback in 3 years. The Fox Sunday crew did this exercise. Who are we excommunicating? It's a good warm-up for the Pettycast at 8 o'clock, actually. So we're going to stretch our petty hamstrings out. Which of the Fox crew do we approve of their best quarterback in 3 years? I think you know where we're going with this. We'll do that coming up next.